Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Just a little chapter, 18 verses. Okay? Father, I thank you this morning that as every morning and as every daytime and every evening, you're always present in us. Father, help us to realize that this is not a part-time lifestyle with you, but it's for the rest of eternity. We'll be with you, and you will be with us. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You never have. Only in our minds have we forsaken you. And Father, you're working on that mind right now. You're taking us back into a place where we remember the things that you spoke to us long before the foundations of this world were set up, before this worldly thinking creeped into us, and Father, messed our minds up. Father, help us to learn to love you. Let us learn, Father, from our hearts that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. It's not something that's going to be done. It already has been done. It's a revelation to know that God's love is in our hearts already. But, Father, let us draw from that love that's been placed within our hearts, and let us begin to love your Word. And as we begin to love your Word, we'll begin to love your creation. And Father, despite the flaws and the defects that we see in the creation, we can love it because of your heart that you placed within us. And that's exactly why Jesus hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for you know not, they know not what they do. As surely as Stephen said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge, it was the same Spirit in him that had come to the revelation of love. And he loved the people that was stoning him to death. Father, let us also come to that place, to the people that stone us, whether it be airplanes crashed into our big buildings, or, Father, whether it be a stone crushing our skulls. Father, let it be the love of God made manifest in our hearts today. Let us begin to love your creation. Chapter 9, verse 1. Oh. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knows either love nor hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the unclean and to him that sacrifices not, he as is the good, so is the sinner, and as he that swears, as he that fears an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event even unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know not that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion for ever in anything that is done under the sun. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink the wine with a merry heart, for God now accepts your works. Let your garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he has given you under the sun, all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. For man also knows not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, or as the birds that are caught in a snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. This wisdom has it seem also under the sun. Have I seen under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city and a few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of the wise men are heard in quiet, more than the cry of him that rules amongst fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Father, help us this morning to understand what we need to know out of this word in our lives today. Let's go back to the first verse again. The word for is literally because. Because all this I considered in my heart, because of all the things he said prior to this. Well, we studied the first 8 chapters, and I can't possibly go back and do that today. You have to get the tape, right? All these things that went on before, I've considered in my heart, even to do what? Declare is not a proper word. The word is examine. He said, I have decided it, considered in my heart to examine all this. And that's what we have to do. We have to come to a place where we desire to examine everything. Why is it going on? I don't know. Well, let me find out. Do you see what I'm saying? I have to have a desire in my heart to examine everything that God brings before me. Everything. And he did this. He said that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. He says the righteous people that are wise and all their works are where?
In the hand of God.
They're in the hand of God. So who's giving them direction? Okay? That's what he's saying here. Now, he said, no man or no human man knows this. This is the natural man he's talking about. The human man knows both love or hatred, love and hatred, I should say. No human man knows love and hatred. We're talking about godly things here. There's a difference between worldly love and godly love. Worldly love is a conditional love. If you're good to me, then I can love you. Godly love is this. I love you. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you do to me. I don't care what you say to me. I love you because you're a child of God and my heart is of God. And I have to love you. I can't do anything else. If all I have is in my heart is love, guess what? All I can do is what? Love. If I have hate in my heart, if I have worldly heart of God and try to put love and hate both in there, it ain't going to work. And that's why we have the world we have, because it's that mixture of all this stuff. That's why we have trade centers blowed up and Pentagon crushed and they were even trying to hit the White House. All this stuff going on. See, it's going on because of the mixture of love and hate in the heart of humanity. And he says you can't have both, doesn't he? We're talking about godly things. Worldly love and hate, you can have. Godly love and hate, you can't have. He says, no man knows both love and hatred. Now, why can't he? It says all that is before them. Literally what it's saying in the language, it's in the future. It's in their future. How can they possibly know what's going to happen tomorrow? Can you? We don't know. We don't know what's happening 5 minutes from now. Okay? All things come alike to all. Well, doesn't that sound like what Paul said? The rain falls on the just and the unjust. The sun shines on the good and the evil. There's good people out here getting sunshined on them, and there's bad people getting sunshined on them. It's the same way in the spirit realm. Just like we were talking about the people in New York. This thing happened for a purpose. We can't try to figure out everything God does, but we can understand some of it. God's doing something, and all I know is God's doing it. It's not in my control, and there's not anybody on the face of this earth can control the circumstances of these things going on. It's God doing it. And we get puffed up sometimes. Some people say, well, I know some man set this up. Well, I believe some people set it up too. You know what? But I believe God let them set it up. So who's really in control? We think, well, many times in our lives we say, well, I made that decision. Did you? Just because a thought run through this piece of gray matter in the top of your head, does that mean you came up with it? It just means God put a thought in your mind and you said, oh, that's mine. No, it's not. God's putting the thoughts in our minds. His purpose will prevail, true or false. Okay, if it's His purpose, it's going to prevail and He'll set up anything He needs. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked. What's the difference then? Good or evil? What's the difference? See, as long as we see good and evil from the point of view of humanity, there is no difference between them. It's either God or it's good and evil. Because good and evil came from the same tree in the garden. Right? So the only way we're going to separate from good and evil is get into God. Would that make sense? It's got to be God. We can't play the game and saying, well, I like that, so that's pretty good. Well, I didn't like it. Well, it must be bad. See, who's making the decision here? Who's making that decision? We are ourselves. Anytime that the human being is one making the decision, making the call, judgment, right, wrong, good, evil, this, that, whatever, it can't be right. It can't be right. Because you can't find two human beings to agree on anything. Can you? It's impossible. So the only way that we can ever agree on anything, and the book says, how can two agree in Amos 3 and 3 except they be agreed in spirit? How can two walk together unless they be agreed in the spirit? The only way we can walk together is by the grace of God and the mind of Christ. See, how can I think like you and you think like me? By the mind of Christ, the anointing oil. See, remember in Psalm 23 I said a while ago? Put the anointing oil on the head. See, that's the mind of Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, you know what we can't do? Disagree. Can't. If I have the mind of Christ, there is something in there called grace and mercy in the mind of Christ. And when you have grace and mercy and someone comes against you, you know what you'll do? It's okay. It's okay. You can get mad if you want to. It's okay. Sorry, I love you anyway. You know what that'll do? Usually make them madder. But the grace and mercy is going to be in there as a buffer between you and that carnality. So if you have the mind of Christ, you can do all things through Him. You can take all the blows and absorb all the shock that they bring at you. Take them all. And you'll never retaliate because of that grace and mercy that is part of that mind of Christ. It's not just something we talk about. It's something we live and walk. To the good and to the clean. To the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not. As to the good, so to the sinner. To him that swears, as to him he that fears an oath. All this stuff going. He said, man, everybody's getting it the same way. I'm going to tell you, when that trade center went down and there was 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people that died in this thing, do you think they were all wicked people? In the scriptures it says, do you believe that the 50-some people that died in the Tower of Siloam, do you think they were more wicked than anybody else? Right there's your trade center. That tower fell and killed all them people. Do you think they were more wicked? No. It's just something God used for a purpose. And see, God doesn't kill anybody. Did you know that? The flesh just returns to the dust from where it came. And that spirit returns to God who gave it. God ain't killing nobody. He's purifying us. In whatever way He chooses to do it, fine by me. I don't care. All I know is God's doing it, and I thank God I know He's doing it, and I'm not pointing at some devil or not even some human being. They're just a tool. And this flesh is expendable. Thank God. Verse 3 says, this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, because there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of Adam, or humanity, is full of evil. There's your key. You want to know why there's a problem? Because the hearts of the sons of Adam are full of evil. No one wants to believe it today. And the people that's pointing the finger at those Afghanis and those terrorists are just as evil as the ones that did it. They're just subdued to some degree. Because in their heart today, what are they crying? Revenge, revenge, kill them. Same murderous thing that's in the heart of the people that did it. Now, how is that going to make anything better? I know this isn't a popular message I'm speaking. But it's the truth. It's the truth. Grace and mercy and love covers a multitude of sin. You want to cover that trade center? Pray some grace and mercy on some people. Not revenge. Also, the heart of the sons of men, or Adam, is full of evil and madness is in their heart while they live. As long as your thinking process lives, as long as the natural thinking process lives in you, there is madness in your heart and it's full of evil. That's the book. But as soon as my thinking process drops off, which is replaced by the mind of Christ, the anointing oil on your head, guess what? No more madness, no more folly, no more evil. Because two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. Can't do it. So if the mind of Christ comes in, what has to leave? The mind of humanity has to go. Can't keep them both. Double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways, isn't he? We can't have them both. As long as they live, they're going to have this stuff. As long as that natural man lives within us. And after that, they go to the dead. Solomon knew some things, but I don't think Solomon had full revelation of everything. I don't think it was time. He wrote words, and I don't think he understood everything he wrote. He made him think, though. I think now Solomon knows all things. Because I know where he's at. Because to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. Because a living dog is better than a dead lion. See? I can roar around all I want to about religion and about the Bible, but if I don't live it, what good is it? And there's people all day long is preaching and hollering, just like I said about earlier about the, what was it? Who was it? Robertson. That said, there's a time for revenge now. Give me a break. See, he's a dead dog barking right now. I don't care what anybody says. That's a dead dog barking in him. I'm not talking about his spirit. I'm talking about his flesh man. That's a dog barking. If it's the Spirit of God, he would never say something contrary to what God's heart is and tell us that that's God's word. God does not speak revenge. Verse 5, because the living know not, know that they shall, know, excuse me, for the living know that they shall die. We all know that, don't we? So we can't get upset when we die. That's part of the process, isn't it? Not to be upset about, not to be anxious about it. But the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for their memory of them is forgotten. Their memory is gone of all this stuff. Now, he's not talking about you. He's talking about your flesh man and your fleshly way of thinking this stuff. Because afterwards our spirit goes back to God. It doesn't just vaporize, does it? He's talking about this natural man that goes right back to the dust. That's what he's talking about. It doesn't know anything any longer. And because the memory of them is forgotten, thank God, huh? Also their love and their hatred and their envy or jealousy is what? It says now, or literally already what? Perished, gone, it's finished. Neither have they any more portion forever in all that is done under the sun. Once we die, this thing is gone. We'll never come back to this thing. This dust. Who wants to come back? My God, of all this hell we're living through, who wants to come back to this place? There's got to be something better than this or we've all lost it. We're more miserable than everybody if we think this life is what it's about. Jesus never walked into his own till after he resurrected. Then he walked into the life. There's where it's at. We have to do the same thing. I'm going to get excited in a minute. Verse 7, now he tells you an instruction. Go eat your bread. We're going to do that after a while. We got all that food laying back here to eat as soon as we get done, but we're not going to do it now. He said, go your way. Eat your bread with joy and drink the wine with a merry heart. Now, boy, the religious folk could flip upside down on that one. Go eat your bread and drink your wine. And that ain't grape juice right there either. See? There is nothing wrong with taking a glass of wine to me. I don't do it. I don't promote. I don't say go do it. But if that's what you want to do, do it. There's nothing in that grape juice or in that fermented wine that is wrong. The book only says this, that wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is intoxicated or made drunk thereby is not wise. Didn't say nothing about sending you to hell or doing anything else. He just said you're not wise if you do it because the wine's going to fry your brain. Wine and strong drink is not for princes or kings. That tells me something, but I can't tell you what to do. You've got to have enough sense in your own mind to make the judgment call for yourself. I don't believe that I don't go out and drink. I know people, I know pastors, I know lots of preachers that go out, and when we have dinner and I go out and eat with them, they order a mixed drink or they order wine. I don't care what they do. I'm not partaking of that. I order a glass of iced tea or a glass of water or whatever else I want. And they look at me because, why come you're drinking tea? That's because I what I want, see? And I'm not going to let them, even though I know it's not wrong, why should I even do it? Because I don't want to do it. I'm not going to let somebody force me into drinking a mixed drink. I know it wouldn't hurt me. So what? Why should I drink it? Just because somebody wants me to. I don't want to. I did that enough. I don't need that anymore. Yeah, I've come free of that. Why waste my money? Okay. Because, he said, go your way, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart, because God, what? Not now. The word now says, already now accepts your works. It already, long ages ago, he accepted you. See? God accepted you the day he created you in his mind. When God said, I want a son. I want a many-membered son. That day you were accepted in God. He didn't create you and say, well, I made a bunch of them. Wonder how many of them is good. Well, let's shake them out and see if there's any good ones in here. Now, come on, God didn't do that. When we were created, every one of us in the image of God, in his mind, we were perfect, upright, loved God, and hated evil. He just wanted to prove us we didn't believe it. This is all because of our doubt and unbelief, not because of God. We doubt. And we have unbelief in our hearts. That's why we're going through this. And God's going to prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt, whether now or after this life, it doesn't make any difference to me. He's going to prove to you that you are Son of God. I don't care whether you believe it or not. You're His Son. And He'll show you His heritage. I promise you that. Whether you like it or not. He didn't ask you if He could. He's going to do it. Verse 8, let your covering be always white. What's He talking about? Keep the mind of Christ. Keep the righteousness of Christ upon you. He didn't say, go out and do anything you want to do because it's okay, God's in control. He did not say that. He said, always keep your covering white. Always. What's he saying? Always be the righteous person. Always be who you really are. But first of all, you can't be righteous if you don't believe you are. See? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, what is he? So is he. If you don't think you're righteous, you surely aren't going to act righteous. It's impossible because what you think inside controls how you act outside. I got to know I'm righteous. There's a paper laying over here on this thing. It's got about 40 things that God says you are. Holy, righteous, unblameable, not guilty, innocent. Along with other things. Sons of God. Temple of the Holy Ghost. Temple of the living God. What's bad about them things? God's not telling you you're bad. He's telling you you're my son. And I don't produce junk. I don't make bad kids. They only think they're bad. Someone else has told them they're bad. When Adam made the mistake in the garden, Adam and Eve, he said, who told you that? So you've been listening to that other voice. You've not listened to the voice of God. If you had, you would never believe when they say, you're an old bad person. You're a sinner. You're this. You're that. No. No. When you hear that voice, what should you say? No. But everybody said, well, you know what? Maybe you're right. I'm bad. And the next thing you know, you're doing exactly what you're thinking because you think it. Come on, help me. And let your head lack no what? No anointing. Don't let anything of the mind of Christ be missing with your mind. Don't let it get away. There's all kinds of erroneous stuff out here. What's your job? My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of another they will not hear. Hello. That tells me that's somebody walking with discernment. Somebody's walking with discernment to know the difference between God and good. God's only got one O in it. There's a discernment in it. And I'm not talking about your spelling. There's a discernment in your spirit. You know the difference between what God says versus what the good idea that man comes up with. There's a big difference. It's as different as night and day when your discernment is heightened. It's literally just having the mind of Christ on you or in you. He says, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of her life, of your vanity which he has given you under the sun. Right? All the days of thy vanity, because that is your portion in this life and in the labor which thou hast taken under the sun. If you think this is just talking about a woman you're married to, you're kidding yourself. Enjoy your soul. He gave her to you. He gave her to you as an enjoyment, a pleasure. And it should be a good thing. And just as surely as Adam done a good thing and took care of Eve, surely as Christ died on the cross for his woman, so should you. Enjoy your woman. But don't let her run the show. Don't let her run the show. See, Adam messed up and let her make some decisions. That's all. Don't let your woman run the show. You run the show. And I'm talking about the Christ in you, not the woman. Whatsoever or all that your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Do whatever you can. Do it right. Don't do something halfway. Do it right. Because there is no work nor device, and that word device literally is reasoning. There's no reasoning nor knowledge nor wisdom in the grave whither thou go. When you hear, enjoy it. Go to the fullest of it. What was that one commercial on TV? Go for the gusto. Get it all. God tells you to do that. Enjoy it. He has given you this to enjoy and to grow and to know Him and all these things. Get it all. Why should you short yourself? Why? You shouldn't. Get it all. But don't miss the focus. Don't let the woman get in control. Don't let your soul, that gift he gave to you. And you could say, what gift? In the grave where you go, you know, nothing's there. So you got to do it now, don't you? Okay? That word grave is the same word right there. Every place it's translated in the Old Testament as hell is the same word here for grave. And it's translated more times grave than it is hell. It's Sheol. It's amazing. You know, how could this be here, the same word be here? It's like saying this pulpit, this little podium here is a podium today, and tomorrow it's going to be a football field. Would it work? Maybe it may be an airplane. I mean, come on, these words can't be that diverse, can they? There's no way. Verse 11, I returned... Uh-oh, now wait a minute. Where'd he return from? Where's he been? Huh? No. He's been in with God. He returned and saw under the sun. That means he'd been somewhere above the sun. Where'd he been? He'd been in the spirit realm. See, he said, I returned. See how easily we can read over these words and not pay attention? These words all have a kick in them. He returned, that means he had to been someplace, and he has been on the world, we knew that, hadn't he? And so if he went someplace to return from, then he had to have left this world, didn't he? He got in the heavenlies, in the spirit realm. And he said, I saw under the sun. When I get in the spirit, I can see things underneath me, can I? Remember the divine perspective? That the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor even favor to men of knowledge. But time and chance happens to them all. It's not about knowledge or skill or all this stuff. It's what God has set up. The language has no better way to say it than that, just time and chance happens to them all. That's kind of a natural way of rendering those words. God's in control, and when men don't understand, they say, well, just a coincidence, right? Just luck. You know what a coincidence is? It's when God chooses to do something and remain anonymous. See? That's all it is. God just chooses to remain anonymous. He's not blowing, look what I'm doing over here. Hey, look, I'm doing this or I'm doing that. God don't have to brag about anything, does He? He just does what He's supposed to do and goes on. Okay? There's fans. Anybody wants to kick them on over? Because, verse 12, because Adam or humanity also knows not his time. Hello. Humanity does not know his time. What's it saying? You don't know the day you're gone out of here. You didn't know the day you came in, did you? That wasn't your choice either. So somebody else must be making the manifest, huh? Okay. Because man doesn't know his time. As the fishes are taken in an evil net, right? Or an unpleasant net. And as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men, or Adam or humanity, snared in an evil time when it falls instantly upon them. Them people in that trade center, the people in the airplanes, they had no clue what was going to happen. They knew they were hijacked. Yeah, they were scared. They knew something was going down bad, but they had no clue that they were... They probably thought about dying, I'm sure. But they had no clue it was going down. When they boarded that plane, do you think any of them would have got on that plane if they knew that plane was going to come back and ram that building? Only the hijackers would have, because they think they were doing God's work. And in reality, they were. They were. Don't let your carnal mind hijack your spirit on that one either. See? But that's what we have to see. We don't know when it's going to go down. All we can do is live for now. I can't live, well, I got a couple more years, I can do this. I had this thought one time when I was a kid. And probably every one of you had it, if you're honest enough to admit to it. When I was a kid, I thought, you know what? I'm going to tell you what I thought about church then. I thought church is for old folk. Because that's all I seen. See, because the kids only went there for the goodies. Because, see, I was a kid and we all talked. And we talked about how foolish all these old fogies was because they didn't understand nothing and what they were saying didn't make no sense. They were talking about this God that was so mean. He was going to kill people and burn people and punish them for eternity. And I said, that don't sound nothing good to me. And they were going to put them in this hell that was so horrible that a monster couldn't have created. And all these other crazy things they were talking about. And the kids talked about it. I don't believe none of that stuff, do you? Heck no. I don't believe that stuff. That's foolishness. I'm telling you what the kids said. Now the kids a lot of times are smarter than the parents in that. Because the parents are caught up in religious tradition. So when I saw all that, I said, you know, I don't want no part of this stuff. Let me out of it. Let me out of it. So, where was that? I lost me something. As a kid. I said, I don't want no part of this because of all this foolishness. And I went my own way. I didn't believe anything that they were telling me. I was scared because they put fear on me. But yet something deep inside of me said, that ain't true. And I never understood why I couldn't believe what they were saying. But see, I heard His voice as a child. Didn't understand it. My intellect had not caught up anywhere to be able to understand anything. But I heard His voice saying, it's not true. So what'd I do? I went out and run in the world. Because what they gave me was not reality. It was not life. They gave me condemnation and guilt. That's all they gave me. There's a difference. So I didn't want to go to church. I wanted to do something else. Okay? Huh?
You did verse 7. Go your way.
Yeah. I went my own way. And that's what God wanted me to do anyway. And as David cried out, I was shaped in my sins and iniquities. All the things I went through in life, it shaped you. It made you who you are. I'm not kicking out anything I went through. There's a purpose for it. But leave it alone. Don't try to condemn everybody for it. But it was a sudden thing that came upon them, right? Didn't have no idea. This wisdom, he says in 13, have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There's a wisdom in it. There's a wisdom in it. We're snared at times when we don't even know why. Now he changes the context a little bit here, and he tells you about something. And you know what he's talking about today in this? He's talking about church, religion, preachers. Think about it when I read it. There was a little city and a few men within it. And there came a great king against it and surrounded it and built great bulwarks or armaments and embankments where they could get into the city and destroy the city. Who are you? You're the city of God, aren't you? The heavenly Jerusalem? And this great king that came against it, I wonder who it might be.
Babylon.
It's Babylon, the king of Babylon, which is your mind. It come against it. And there was found in it a poor what? Poor wise man. In the Beatitudes, what's it say? Blessed are the meek, or blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the earth, the kingdom of God. See, they're going to inherit it. It's talking about this man who is humble and wise, and guess what? He, by his wisdom, delivered the city, yet no man, or no human man, remembered that same poor man. Sounds like Jesus going to a cross. No respect, no honor. Oh, people cry out the name of Jesus, but they don't know what he did. They don't have any clue about the work that he performed. And if you think it was just about him hanging on a tree and dying so I didn't have to die, you missed the point, because Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed unto man once to die. Don't tell me you ain't going to die. You're going to die. Everyone on the face of this earth, all flesh will die. All flesh will die. See, we're talking about spiritual things here that people don't care to get to. That's okay if you don't want to get there, but I got to go there. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised. Oh yeah. If you don't have a reputation with 14 different sets of letters behind your name today, like the big TV ministries, nobody listens to you. And you know what? It wasn't the big TV ministries that God brought his word through to begin with, was it? There wasn't no satellites. There wasn't no TV programs. There wasn't no radios. I doubt seriously they was using carrier pigeons. He was speaking by the Spirit of God, and on the day of Pentecost, he spoke through one man, and 18 different languages heard him without a satellite. Guess what? I don't think that our words are contained in this four walls. I think if we speak the words of life, that they go throughout the air. Just as that man called me the other day from Arkansas and said, speak some life into the air, brother, I'm choking on it. There's nothing but death in it. Somebody's got to speak life. Too many people speak in death. We need some life in the air. And we can do that if we'll go on with it. But you know what? It's never going to come from a place of notoriety. You can forget that right now. Them men's got too much money involved in this, too much pride and reputation involved in to speak truth. Because speaking truth takes it away from them. And their ego has already tasted of what that reputation will do. And once your ego sinks its teeth into that reputation, it ain't never letting go, like a pit bull. You'll have to break its jaw and rip it off. Your ego will lock into that reputation thing. It will never let it go. You have to have your jaw broke to get you off of it. Where am I at? Oh. And his words are not what? Verse 16. The poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Shammah, heard intelligently with the intent to respond to. Oh, people sit and listen to me all the time, and I know in their spirit what they're saying. This man's nuts. He's a lunatic. He's a heretic. What is this guy? He's done one off his rocker. Yeah, I did, thank God, and got on somebody else's course. See? Because the mind of humanity can't even comprehend the things of God. When I began in this walk with God, I couldn't even comprehend where He's taking me to now, and I know it's not over yet. What's scary? That's scary. But faith says, hang on, the ride is just beginning. If I'd have known what God was taking me to, if I'd known He was taking me to where I'm standing this day, I'd have probably committed suicide back then. Because my flesh didn't want no part of where I'm at today. It still don't want no part of it. Nobody wants to hear the poor man. They always want someone with the... I think Jesus dealt with that. Said, what, you come out to see a prophet, or you want to hear someone wearing robes? $600 suits, robes, you know, what do you want? You want to hear? You want to see someone wearing robes? Go to a king's palace. You want to hear a prophet? You'll have to go to the wilderness. The wilderness is your Pentecostal experience of testing. You have to go there. Everybody gets a chance. Everybody does. The words of the wise men are heard intelligently with intent to respond in quiet more than the cry of him that rules among fools. So kings that are ruling, their words do nothing for you. If you're a spiritual man, a true spiritual man hooked into the mind of God, the fool that's ruling has no bearing in your life. That's why we can just walk on and not worry about it. But you know what? If these words of these people concern you, then I would be concerned that my heart's not in the place it should be. They can talk war. I've been in war. Went to Vietnam twice. I've been in war. I know what shooting is, back and forth at each other. I've experienced that. But you know what? It scared the hell out of me when I was back there. But you know what? It don't scare me no more. And if they would come and say, here it is, take the gun and go, I'd just look at them and laugh. I'd look at them and laugh. What are you going to do? Put me in jail? That's where they put the Apostle Paul, and he just went ahead and wrote the scriptures for God. You put me in there because they put you in prison. They have to provide you with all kinds of good things, whatever they want to do. I mean, they ain't going to hurt me. But you have to come to a place where it doesn't make any difference what they threaten you with. It's not easy, I'm going to tell you. And don't think, it, like I heard when I was in that Methodist church when I first started, this guy says, well, I'm not worried much about putting on the mind of Christ right now. I'll just wait and get saved right before it goes, you know. Oh, okay. You think that when you die, God's going to wave a magic wand over your head and you're going to have the mind of Christ? It's not going to happen. If you don't learn how to overcome every day by every step that you take in this life, every step I'm learning something. And if I'm not learning that, I'm not going to learn at the end. I'm not going to get some big miraculous miracle change me into something else. That's what this life is all about. Changing you into what God wants you to be. But if you hear the words of the world, I'd be concerned about your heart. I'd really be concerned if I listened to those things they tell me out there. If the stock market falls down, I don't got no money in the stock market. If it goes up, it don't change my life. If it goes down, it don't change my life. I got to eat and go with every day. Don't you? Don't you all have to do something to work something? Has your life truly been changed anything because of the stock market? I don't know of anything. I don't have any ties to that stuff. And that's what I'm trying. That's just the extreme thing. But all these things of the world, little things can do the same thing to you. Let the world pass. Don't look back like you said earlier. Don't look to the things out of the past. Verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war. Now what wisdom is he talking about? A college degree? It's godly wisdom. Godly wisdom is better than a weapon of war. You know why? Because godly wisdom will stop wars. Godly wisdom is love. You can't fight when you're in love. Hello? You know, in our natural sense, we can say, well, me and my wife was in a fight, but I love her. Oh, hogwash. If you loved her, you wouldn't fight her. Same goes the other way. The women wouldn't be fighting their husbands if they loved them. That's a worldly thinking process. You've got to get above that. It's got to come to the spirit realm. And in the spirit, if we understand this is a godly thing and we love somebody, then I cannot do something to hurt them. I can't. I don't have the option of doing that. As long as you think you have an option, there's two people making decisions in your mind. And two makes you unstable. It's got to be God. This wisdom has got to come from God, not from a person. But one sinful person destroys much good. Okay? And you know what it is? The unbelief in your heart. This is the one person, me. I am the one that destroys the world. I am made from the dust of the earth. And I destroy this world by my doubt and unbelief. Jesus told his apostles, the reason you couldn't do anything is for your doubt and unbelief. It's a destroyer of everything. We don't believe God is what it amounts to. Either it's God or it's not. Which one is it? Wisdom is better than weapons of war. It's love. But one sin, literally the word sin, not sinful, sinner. One sin destroys much good. It's the sin of unbelief. It's myself. When I don't believe what God said, I'm destroying my earth. You do the same thing when you don't believe what God said. But you know what everybody says? But you don't understand. There's that billy goat religion. But, it's all it is. That's the very thing that does it. A wise, faithful servant does one thing. Obeys. Why do you think in His Word He said, it's better to have obedience than...